WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, December 3rd. Coming up, Major League Baseball owners have locked out players after their collective bargaining agreement expired earlier this week. I'll discuss the lockout with baseball writer and former attorney Craig Calcaterra coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Illinois Department of Public Health yesterday reported the highest number of new positive COVID tests since December 1st of last year. More than 11,500 new COVID tests came back positive from Illinois labs within the last day. That's out of a pandemic-high record number of tests, nearly 232,000 processed statewide. The jump in tests and cases comes as COVID's Omicron variant has been detected in more places around the world. But Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's still waiting for more concrete answers on whether this variant is more transmissible than Delta or causes a more serious infection. Meanwhile, he's monitoring new COVID hospitalizations, which have been on the rise for the last month.
There hasn't been a worse level of sickness anyway so far among those hospitalizations. It's just mostly unvaccinated people, and so it's unclear, is Omicron attacking people who are unvaccinated? I believe that's the case.
Pritzker and public health officials are urging vaccinated Illinoisans to get their booster shots, especially as immunity from initial doses begins to decline. Nearly 2 million Illinoisans have gotten their COVID booster doses, about 18% of the state's population eligible for them. High vaccination rates and strategic testing have been the University of Illinois' answers to staying safe as the end of the COVID-19 pandemic remains out of reach. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Thursday marked the second time University of Illinois Urbana Chancellor Robert Jones delivered a State of the University address since the pandemic began. Last year, everyone on campus tested for the virus twice a week. Now with vaccines available, Jones says they're testing on a targeted basis.
If there's more than a couple of cases in the course of a day or two or three cases in a week, we do what we call targeted surveillance testing, where everybody in that facility does have to test every other day. And that, according to our public health officials, combined with our very high level of vaccination, is the best mitigation step to take at the moment.
Around 94% of the University of Illinois students and staff are fully vaccinated. That's compared to 74% of people 18 and over statewide. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
A new statewide program is offering full tuition scholarships to help stymie the teacher shortage in early childhood education. This summer, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker announced the state was devoting $200 million to expand the early childhood education workforce. Part of that funding is the new Early Childhood Access Consortium for Equity. Dr. Linda Ransdell is the dean of the College of Health and Human Sciences at Northern Illinois University. She says the program focuses on those who have already worked in early childhood education or have an associate's degree. Ransdell says they did a workforce survey and found that schedule flexibility and module-based learning would help the most for working adults who need more training.
They may be 8 weeks instead of 16. They may also give credit for experience that these individuals already have in the workforce.
They'll also finish the two-year program with in-demand endorsements for English as a second language and special education. Ransdell says they're hoping to train 160 educators in the next 2 years. Champaign County public health officials reported nearly 270 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday, the highest single-day total in about a year. The number of active cases is up to more than 1,300, nearly 400 cases more than just 1 week ago. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 61 patients hospitalized with COVID-19, about twice as many as 2 weeks ago. 15 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, we'll discuss the Major League Baseball lockout with baseball writer and former attorney Craig Calcaterra. That conversation is coming up next on 217 Today.
Women from all walks of life worked the farms that fed Britain during World War II, doing their part to maintain the home front as members of the Women's Land Army. The series Land Girls tells their story. The show has been compared to Call the Midwife, and it highlights women's advancement in the world of agriculture as they help to win the war. Learn how you can watch the entire series as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Major League Baseball owners have locked out their players as the collective bargaining agreement between the two sides expired on Wednesday night. The lockout means that no new contracts can be signed and that players cannot access team facilities, among other things. I talked about MLB's labor situation with Craig Calcaterra. He's a former attorney who writes the Cup of Coffee baseball newsletter on Substack. Calcaterra says it's easy to summarize what the owners want from a new collective bargaining agreement.
Really nothing other than the status quo if they can get it. They know they probably can't. There have to be some changes. There are always tweaks in new collective bargaining agreements. But the owners have been very happy with the financial makeup of Major League Baseball over the last two rounds of CBAs, I believe. They like the way that revenue sharing works. They like the salary structure in baseball right now. They like the way that the draft is run and the international signings are run. They've made a lot of money. Basically, the story of baseball financially over the last 20 years or so has been revenues rising very, very sharply, but player salaries generally staying flat once you adjust for that. So the owners don't want anything to change if they could help it.
And what are the players pushing for here, Craig? What big changes do they want to see in the next deal?
Well, the competitive change in baseball that has happened is younger and younger players are starting to be more and more important for Major League Baseball teams. They are not signing older players anymore. They are, making 22 and 23-year-olds with very little service time in the game key parts of the team. It's not an accident. Those guys aren't paid that much. Players can't generally make a lot of money in baseball, at least until they've played for 3 years and they can get arbitration, or definitely for six and they can become free agents. So what has happened is all the big money that free agents used to get after 6 years of service time has kind of gone away, and the median salary in baseball has gone way, way down. So what players are looking to do is to get players into a bigger payday earlier in their career. Cut the time from arbitration from 3 years to 2 years, for example. Cut the time from free agency from 6 years to 5 years, and raise the minimum salaries that young players make. So players overall are capturing more of the revenue in terms of their salaries than they are currently.
And, you know, certainly there's tension in Major League Baseball between teams in smaller markets, you know, cities like Cleveland, Pittsburgh come to mind, versus teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, who have much larger revenue streams. What about the argument that some of the teams in the smaller markets simply can't compete financially as the system is right now?
That's really never been borne out. That's been a talking point for owners for many, many years. And if you're a casual fan of baseball and you look around at what the payrolls are for certain teams, you might say, oh yeah, Cleveland can't compete. Their payroll is very low. Well, Cleveland won a pennant just a few years ago. They're quite capable, and they've been very competitive for several years. They're capable of paying more than they do, and there isn't as big a correlation, certainly on championships and payroll. There is less of a correlation between winning and payroll. And then there's also a bunch of noise in the system. And what I mean by that is there are teams that have a very low payroll because they're getting revenue from other sources than, say, ticket sales or playoff revenue or things like that. There's revenue sharing in baseball where the big teams pay the little teams. And one of the things the players want to change, and the owners do not want to change, is how much money goes from the big teams to the little teams. The players believe, and I think this is correct, that if you are a team like Cleveland and you are not trying to win and you are getting a big check from all the other teams, you don't have an incentive to add players and to add salary to become better because you're already making more money. You're being subsidized by the other teams. Meanwhile, the other teams who are paying the revenue sharing have less money to spend on free agents because they're sending it to Tampa Bay or Cleveland or whatever. So there is certainly a tension between the high revenue teams and the low revenue teams, the big city teams and the small market teams, however you want to put it, but it doesn't really bear out in competitive ways as much as it is claimed to be by the owners.
When do you think any pressure points really begin to come into play here, since we're so far from spring training at the moment?
It's funny. They asked Rob Manfred that on Wednesday night, and I think Tony Clark from the union was asked that, and both of them are very, very loath to say, oh, this is when it's going to get serious. But it's not that complicated. Basically, I think that they will start talking seriously after the first of the year. And I think that if they don't have something down by the end of January, then you start to sweat.
That's Craig Calcaterra, author of the Cup of Coffee baseball newsletter and the forthcoming book Rethinking Fandom, which will be published next April. He spoke with me about the Major League Baseball lockout. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies and warm temperatures again today with a high of 57 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Emily Hayes, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.